Amen. The title of today's message is The Mind of Christ. Amen. The Mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is given to us to guard our first love. As we've been on this study, Message to My Church, walking through the letters in Revelation to the churches, we've spent a lot of time on that first letter to the Ephesian church. And as we talked about last week, God was giving them a warning saying, your love that you had for me when you first walked with me is changed. It's not where it was before. Your love has been lessened. Unless you return to that first love, you're totally going to fade away. And you're going to miss the purposes that I created you for. The beautiful gift that God has given us is the mind of Christ. As Christ followers, we are promised the invincible mind of Christ. Now, what does that mean? That word invincible means that whatever comes against it cannot be victorious. Whatever wars against our mind, the mind of Christ, the gift from God, cannot be victorious over the mind of Christ that lives within us. If you have your Bibles today, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. And it says this, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" Paul writes, but we, speaking of us, as his church, as his people, but we have the mind of Christ. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? What does that look like? It looks like telling God what he should be. Telling God how he should think and perceiving our life according to the mind that we were born with, void of the mind of Christ. Now, are we guilty of that? I say highly guilty. I know I am. We want to explain not only to others, but to ourselves who God is and how he should act. How dangerous is that? Another way of saying that, falling into a religious spirit, meaning that it has this intention of wanting to perceive the things that are divine, the things that are spiritual, but doing it in our own ability, in our own mind. Good intentions sometimes follow that. But what God has separated the church for is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit that elevates our thinking higher than our ability, where he has promised to give us spiritual understanding. See, spiritual understanding is impossible without the Spirit of God being alive within us. You know, we can think nice thoughts, we can think spiritual thoughts, but unless we have the Spirit of God living within us, it's just theory. All it is just religious talk. Unless we have the Spirit of God to give us the mind of Christ, it is really a waste of time. But God did not see fit to leave us in that condition. He has elevated the mind of believers to a place where he even calls the mind that we have the mind of Christ. And I have a question for all of us here today. Who or what influences your thoughts? Because really, that's what the mind is, isn't it? It's a collection of thoughts that we allow to live within. The question is, who or what influences your thoughts and my thoughts? And there's a couple of areas I want to look at this morning. And the first one is, all of them are obvious, but this one is very, very obvious. The world's normal. What does it mean to be normal? A thought to be normal. It would be a thought that would come to us with no restriction in us. No standing against it. As it comes, it is invited or welcomed in, and it's made comfortable. So the world has a lot of normal that seeks to be the thoughts that fill our mind. And the dangerous thing about allowing the world's normal to be our normal, the world's normal changes all the time. What once was perceived as good now is perceived as bad. And the world as we know it is the kingdom of Satan. Born into this world with a fallen nature, thinking that the world's normal is okay, when all along it is not. The thoughts of the world should never become our mind or our normal. And then how about this? Who or what influences our thoughts? Who or what helps to establish our mind? The home's normal. Now, can we associate that word with our home, normal? We all know this. Our homes are interesting places, aren't they? On the best day, hallelujah, but there's going to be some bad days, right? And even in the family that honors the Lord with all of their heart, there's going to be some normals that don't need to be there, right? And so it looks like this. The home that I grow up in affects the mind that I have. And that is why mom and dad, what we choose to say is normal in this household matters greatly, because what we embrace, we what? We give to our children. And most likely the things that we embrace that are not the normal God wants us to have, our children will step it up a notch. The home's normal. What is allowed in our home that God doesn't want living in our minds and being the thoughts that we process? What is in our home that God says, please reject and allow me to establish my normal in your home? The home is aligned to the highest authority that it trusts in. You know, daddy is supposed to be the leader of the home, right? He's supposed to be the priest of the home, the Bible tells us. And what daddy allows in, if daddy is the highest authority, we're going to have some normals that are going to be some problems. But the home that says our highest authority is God is going to have a normal that protects everyone in that household. Now, granted this, we're human and we mess up, right? We mess up, we trip up. And I still remember this as a kid. Now, children in Austin, don't expose too much this morning. But I still remember as a kid, you know, mom and dad are special. They're big. Their word carries weight. And I still remember when my mom and dad, and for some reason I butted heads with my dad more than I butted heads with my mom. And I would think, daddy did something, and this thought came to me, that ain't right. And then I would think about, wait a minute, daddy said it, but that ain't what? That ain't right. You been there? Don't be saying amen now, Austin. That just ain't right. But daddy thinks that it's right, or mama thinks that it's right. And I still remember getting bold, because I was one of these mouthy kids. You said, yeah, I can see that. My brother would write letters to tell his complaints. I would just, blah, blah, blah. And you can't edit that as much as you can a letter, right? So in coming to my mom and dad when things weren't, that ain't right, and speaking it to them. And I still remember, sometimes those were highly rejected, but then sometimes they were received. And I promise you this, parents, don't block the wisdom that your children have to give you, right? Because there's this purity of a child that can sometimes perceive things that we distance from ourselves. And the fact is, our normal, if it ain't right, if we've lived in it long enough, it seems what? Totally right. We're seated in it. But always have ears to listen to your children, regardless of what age they are, right? Because we can learn something. The home's normal is not what God wants to create the thoughts in our minds. How blessed we are when the normal follows the line that God's normal desires. That only makes us stronger. But sometimes the things that we learn and the normals that are presented to us in our homes, can you say it with me? That ain't right. That ain't right. And then I want to look at another normal that affects the thoughts that live in our mind. And this one I call the associations normal. Another way of saying that, who do I walk with? Who is my friend? Who do I associate with? And there's this strange phenomenon today, is that before, those that we associated with, we really what? We really knew. They were friends that we grew up with, friends down the street that we hung out with after school, or friends that we had in school, and there was a true relationship there, and we would be able to see their good and their bad. And we knew them. But nowadays, things shift a little differently. Those relationships are still there, but today they look a little different because the foundation that many relationships are built on are built on social media. And social media does not tell you the whole story. Relating to someone through digits on a phone has high danger. Are my associations normal? Now my normal. Are the postings on Facebook and the attitudes that are lifted up on Facebook now living in my thoughts? Are the Instagram images now how I perceive the value system of this world? Is that now my normal? Because never before in the history of man has information had such a free-flowing avenue to our minds. And what thoughts come to our mind changes who we are and who we become. Are the associations that I stand with, are they my normal? And we know this, the highest normal that we are called to in having first love for God, first love for Jesus above all other things, is God's normal. That's what we want, right? I want God's normal. And here's the challenge. In the world would look at God's normal and say, what? That ain't right. That's right. I like that, Chaz. That ain't right. We'll hear that. In fact, as I've shared before, we're coming to a day. We're standing on God's normal. Will make us an enemy of not only others, which that's been going on since the birth of the church, but now it's going to be visited as hate and criminal. and our normal that we've embraced through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, the thoughts of God, the mind of Christ, will be challenged by the sword. Will that change our normal? You know, for some, it's like, I don't want to look uncool. So my normal will change so that I will look what cool. And here's the thing. The normal that is God's normal, we should expect it to not be understood by those that do not have the mind of Christ. That should not challenge the foundation that we stand on. If we serve two masters, we're always going to hate one, right? And with Jesus, he says, your mind is mine. With liberty and freedom, with relationship. But if you let the mind of the normal of this world, the normal of family, the normal of your associations dwell in level authority in that mind, you will end up hating me. And you say, hate is a strong word. It looks like this. If we don't love God first, then what we are offering him is a form of hatred and disrespect. And God is all about guarding his normal within us. So much so, we walk with God by these sources, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit that now lives and has made his home in us is always protecting, always guiding, always giving us discernment about what God's normal is. Can you say thank you, Lord, for that? That is a powerful gift. If someone only walks in belief without the Holy Spirit living in them, their belief will only take them so far. And that is why to walk with God, we walk with God by the strength of the Holy Spirit that is in us, that allows the mind of Christ to be ours. But it also has this other layer, and I want to encourage you about this. The Bible tells us to test the spirits that come at us. The spirit of the world's normal, test it. The spirit of our family's normal, test it. The spirit of our association's normal, that post on TikTok, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, test it. Test it. Don't just nod your head. Don't just click a button and agree and elevate it and send it out to others. Don't do that. Test that spirit, even test the spirit that lives in you. The Holy Spirit says, test to make sure it is of me. So we walk with God by the Holy Spirit, but we also walk with God by the Word of God. Test and see, how does my thought stand up with God? How does my normal that I embrace align to the Word of God? And it looks like this. It cannot just be casual connection to God's Word. It's a daily bread that feeds us. And as we walk with God through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, as we walk with God by the power of His Word guiding us, the mind of God's normal will be ours. Now, promise you this, our normal will always challenge God's normal, always, because that's the fallen nature that we have. But that is not something that is necessarily a negative thing. I have a close friend of mine, and you guys probably, some of you guys will remember him. His name is Lee Till, and everybody calls him Junior. Very gifted man, powerful man of God. And he shared a story with me just the other day. He initially was a professional wrestler. And I remember as a kid, and this is one of those odd things that happens sometimes. But as a kid, I see it in my mind's eye right now. It was Saturday morning. I was in our den where we had our TV. And I'm doing something as a kid. I don't remember exactly what I was doing. But all of a sudden, there was this shot of this wrestler. And it was a close-up of his face. And he had some crazy eyes. And I still remember looking at that TV screen. And he was a bad guy wrestler. I was looking at it. I said, that man's got some crazy eyes. And it just kind of stuck in my mind. Fast forward probably 20 or more years ahead, and that man enters my life. And I'll share that story sometime with you guys. He didn't come saying, I'm a former wrestler. I had to learn that through just knowing him over time. And after he retired from wrestling, he started a landscaping business and a nursery. So he's really connected to plants and how life lives through that gift of plants and flowers and trees. And he mentioned this to me. There are all kinds of seeds that will come to our lives. Good seeds and bad seeds. Another way of saying that is good thoughts and bad thoughts. And we all have our struggles, but is there anybody right now in your life that you really don't like? Don't answer that real loud now. Somebody that offended you, and it was, that ain't right kind of situation. And you struggling with it. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and it's living. How do you know it's living? It's hitting the thoughts day in and day out. I start feeling good, praising God, right? And I loved how he gave this illustration. He said, unforgiveness is like a seed that God offers to you, meaning that life really offers to you. But it's what? It's there. And you got a choice to plant it in the soil of the flesh or to plant it in the soil of God's word. So how can you take a bad seed and plant it in the soil of God's word? You take that thought, that experience, and you apply it to what God's word has commanded. You let it be planted in the word of God, and that which was meant for your destruction and my destruction will flower into that beautiful image, in reality, of forgiveness. Where do we plant the seeds that have come to us? Where are our thoughts being planted? May we plant it in the word of God. May we plant seeds, good and bad, in the soil of God's normal, in the soil of God's word. Romans 12, verse 2. How's your thoughts? How would you classify the mind that you have? How would your spouse label the mind that you have? Do we have evidence of the mind of Christ being that which lives in us? Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, that is a beautiful description of not only the process of finding the mind of Christ, but the beauty and the benefit of the mind of Christ being ours. And it starts with this: do not be conformed to this world. Right off, he says, the world is going to put thoughts in you that keep you fallen, that lessen your love for me, that drift you from where my will is. The world is seeking to form your thoughts and your mind and to take it down a path that is not life-giving. Do we ever wake up in the morning thinking, what's going to form my mind today? Do not be conformed to this world, straight off. And then the hope, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How can first love dwell in our hearts if our minds are not connected with that love? You know, love it lives not only in our heart, but it also lives in our minds. In fact, the reflection of what is in our heart is clearly displayed in what it projects within our mind. Meaning this, what I am comfortable with that lives in me, my thoughts are going to tell me daily that which I love the most. And here we have this beautiful example that our minds can be transformed not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And it is a renewal of our mind. It is an ongoing process. And then this is, again, what does it look like? And we go further. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. Is a constant evaluation within our minds. World's normal. It's not my home. It's not supposed to live in here. Evaluate it. The home's normal. If there's something out of place, then don't let it be a heritage that we carry on. And then associations, the ones that I choose to hold hands with, the ones that I choose to walk with. Test what they're telling you, not by what we are comfortable with or what you are comfortable with, but what the Spirit of God and the Word of God is comfortable with. Test, 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 that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Does the will of God matter to us? Because that's what it really boils down to. Does God's heart and will have any weighing upon my heart and my actions? And I think if we are having the mind that is being transformed, if the mind is being renewed, daily being evaluated with what lives in it, what God's will matter, because we know outside of God's will is the opposite of what this list says. God seeks to give us what is good, but we'll choose to embrace that which is bad, what is evil. we'll call evil good. That's part of the decline of where the fallen nature takes us. What God wants to place in us that is good, his will, not easy, but the best. And also, his will is acceptable. It's like this: don't bring an offering to God that is not acceptable. For in that we bring offense to God. And God says, what I'm going to give you is a life that places you in an acceptable place. What does that really mean? The one who loves me the most has an alignment for me. And he looks at it and it says, that is good. And if it's not good, he's willing to say, that is harming you, my son, my child, my daughter. Don't stay there. It is not acceptable. Why? Because it will hurt you. It is death for you, and it is rejection of the life that I've offered you. And then this word is such a powerful word. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable. And say this word with me, perfect, perfect, perfect. Some people hear that word and they're intimidated by it because we know in ourselves we can't be perfect. But God looks at us and what he wants to place in us, in our minds, in our lives, is perfect. And how should I view that? Is that God will never mislead me. God will never lie to me. God will never take me down the wrong course. Everything that God seeks to bring about in my life is filled with his perfection. You say, well, Pastor, then why am I suffering so much? Why is life so difficult? Because God is perfecting in you the beauty of what he called you to be. And if we ever look at this life on earth as heaven, we are lying to ourselves. This is training ground. We had and I don't know all the details on this story, so I'm going to share some basics about it. But a young soldier, I think he was an Army Ranger, and I think he has association with South Carolina, this week was given the Medal of Honor. That is amazing. This guy saved over 70 lives. He was part of special forces that went into these two different buildings where like 70 hostages in the Middle East were being held. And one of the buildings caught on fire during the rescue mission, and he was ordered, don't enter that building again. He entered it, I think, two or three more times and saved 70 lives. And he was honored with the Medal of Honor. The report said he went to Ranger School, which my understanding, I think Austin knows, like in certain Ranger or Special Forces, is it 80% or more don't fulfill the requirements? It's high. It's very high. The SEALs. So it is this training ground that most people can't handle. And we're talking about people that are considered the greatest potential candidates, yet a large percentage can't make it. And I remember this a number of years ago. There was a soldier I was talking to, and this guy was he was a warrior, strong, and he was a warrior, and he had gone to Ranger School, and I think he tried maybe twice, and he couldn't cut it. And I thought, man, if this guy can't cut it, who can? Well, this particular gentleman that this week received the Medal of Honor was number one in his Ranger class. He stood the test. He went through the challenge that is horrific, and he came out strong. That is our ground on this earth. His trial, tribulations, suffering that brings about and produces the qualities that God wants in us. And none of those challenges can destroy the invincible mind of Christ that is in you. Probably a lot of those soldiers that go into that program where the defeat comes first is not the physical. The defeat comes first in the mind. But the ones that press through the challenge to the physical stand and continue because mentally their mind is still on task. So why should we guard the mind of Christ? Because the stuff that's going to come at us in this world can be horrific. But it cannot be greater than the mind of Christ that lives in you. What bread feeds your mind? Did you know the old saying, you are what you eat? Choosing what feeds our mind. I'm going to do a little illustration this morning. I'm going to need some folks to help me out. And in here are a number of objects. So I'm going to ask Daniel, you know I'm going to pick on you, man. Come on up here, if you will. Come on up here real quick. Come on up. Oh, I'm sorry, Daniel. David, since the very beginning of time, I've always wanted to call you Daniel. I'm sorry, David. It's the elderly. Okay, here we go. Don't look inside. So what you got there?
Good seed bread.
Good seed bread. All right. Well, you stand right there. And now, Juju, come on up here. Again, don't look in the back. What's the name of that? It's called Power Seed Bread. Power Seed Bread. All right. So stand right there. Don't leave me. And let's see here. Sky, you don't want to come up? Okay. Let's see. Looking around. Let's see. Robin, come help me out, please. Come help me out. So what kind of bread is that?
Sprouted grain bread.
And that name is Ezekiel 4:9. So you stand up here right now. So let's look. Come on up, Cam. Come on up. Again, you can't look inside here now, but I want you to reach and grab one item out. So what you call that? It's called Devil Squares. Oh my goodness, Cam. Say, Cam, don't leave. Stand right here. And set that down real quick. And I want you to grab one more time. There's one more item in here. So you can reach in there. Don't look. There's one more item. All right. Now what is that? It's called Wonder Bread, but it don't look too wonderful, does it? It doesn't look too wonderful. Now, all of these are y'all's to take after service. I just need to use them. So if you can set them right up on the platform and then afterwards come and get them before you leave. Let's give these guys a hand. All right. So we know this, the type of bread that we eat is our choice. We get to go to the grocery store and choose the one that we desire the most. And again, this one is Ezekiel bread, so that should be pretty good, right? This is devil squares. Tastes good, but might be some problems. Wonder bread. How many of y'all remember Wonder bread? We'll talk about that in a minute. And then this is Dave's bread. And this is Power Seed, full grain bread. And then this one is also whole grain called Good Seed. Now you say, Pastor, where are you going with this? I think you may know. What feeds your mind matters greatly. So what we choose to eat is our choice. And when we choose to eat bread, we can take one that calls itself wonderful, if we want to, a wonder. But is this the most healthiest bread to eat? No, it's not. And then this one says Ezekiel. It's got a good name on it. And it's whole grain. It should be more healthy for us. But one thing I noticed about Ezekiel, they had another bread that I almost bought, and it was cinnamon raisin, all right? But it still said Ezekiel on it. And this one tells us if you eat this bread, it will make you powerful because it is power, seed. And then this one just draws us in. This is what? Good seed. And then this one puts the warning up, and they put this little girl in the corner to make us feel comfortable. Little Debbie says, it's fine, you can eat it, it's not a problem. But the name of it is just straight up, it's bread, cake is what? Bread, and this is devil squares. Now, here's a couple of things I want to touch base about. What feeds your mind matters greatly. What we allow to be entered into this body, into this mind, matters greatly. And the question is, again, what bread feeds your life? Is it the bread of life, the bread of the Spirit, or is it the bread of death and the bread of the flesh? The choice is ours, just like when we go to the grocery store. It's lined up so many options that our mind can't even remember all of them. But it's the one we choose is the one that enters the body. The same is true for our daily bread, that which feeds our soul, what feeds our spirit. The choice is fully ours. We will have people tell us all kinds of claims that what we're doing is okay, it's not a problem. It's the most popular one. Probably this one has lasted for so long because what? Wonder Bread was one of the first breads made that could sustain a long shelf life. And there's a reason why. I bought some of this one time in Austin and refused to eat it. It sat on our counter until it, I don't even think it went bad. I had to give it up. I had to let it go. And then, in our lives, there are times where the bread that we choose is obviously not what is best for us. And again, I'm not coming down on you if you're eating a Twinkie right now. But there are consequences for what we embrace and what we feed on. It is either the bread of life or the bread of the flesh. John chapter 6, verse 35 breaks it down this way. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. What is Jesus saying? If you feed on me, you will be satisfied. If you feed on me, hunger is not going to be your problem, because I will satisfy your hunger and I will satisfy your thirst. And we learn this. If we eat physically the wrong stuff, you know what they call that? If we instead make this our breakfast, or our lunch, or our dinner, after we eat it, we feel what? We feel like really good. Tastes good, gave me some energy. But over time, they call it the crash and burn. Even within minutes, that height that I felt begins to what? Crash. And I learned that the hard way. I love sweets. Love them. I lived with candy every day. I had all types of candy that I knew that was how I would end my day. And when my waist size started to be greater than my age, and I'm in my midlife, there might be a problem. And as we said earlier, that ain't right. That ain't right. And eventually, I was like, you know, but I'm hungry, man. Leave me alone. I'm going to get a new body one day. So I don't have to worry about what this body. I'm going to get a new one. But the crash and burn didn't feel right. And it began to affect my thoughts and my mind, meaning that sluggish. And then somehow I came across this article with a strange word, four-letter word, because not all four-letter words are bad, right? Was this word keto. I say, what is keto? And as I investigated it, I realized very similar to the Atkins diet, where you stay away from carbs and you try to eat higher protein. And I tried that, lost weight, then went back to my different carbs. Why? Because it was what was my norm. And I didn't feel good. Crash and burn. But when I read about this diet, and I'll hurry up with this, it says if you eat this way, you will not be as hungry. I was like, don't lie to me. Because I know hunger and I like my hunger, so leave me alone. But it says if you eat this way, you will not want to eat certain meals throughout the day. I said, that's just a lie. And it looked different this way. What you were told was bad is really good. Healthy fats are good. But the doctor in different sources has told me butter is really bad for you. And that certain animal fats will be destructive to you. And I was like this, you know what? Living in the way I feel right now, I want to feel better. So I began to understand that there's certain things, eggs and things that were healthy, that if I would eat that way, I wouldn't be as hungry. And lunch wouldn't be as attractive to me. And even dinner sometimes was not even necessary. All because eating the right thing. For me, everybody's different. My wife can eat 3 boxes of these a week, and she don't gain no weight. No. However, She doesn't eat three boxes a week. I promise you that. Another side effect happened. My mind was clear. All simply because of what I chose to live in here. And this isn't a message about a diet. That's not the point. The point is this. What we bring into our minds will affect who we are. If we bring the bread of this world daily into our minds, we will never be satisfied. And that which is layered upon us will be things that will hinder where God has destined us to be. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst." He goes further in John chapter 6, verse 33, and tells us this. "For the bread of God is that which comes down," where? "Out of heaven and gives life to the world." It's the right bread. Why? Because of where it's sourced. Where it comes from is not from this world. It comes from heaven. The bread of life comes down not from the hand of man, not from the hand of a religious order. It comes directly from the heart of God. And that bread of life is the only life source to this world. There's none other. So if I'm banking on being a good person, being what will give me the mind that God has destined for me, not enough. In fact, it will be an obstacle. It will be something that we stand on that has no foundation that is lasting. He tells us again, the right bread comes from God, is the only source of life to this world. And the question I ask myself this morning is this: where does my daily bread come from? Is it the normal of the world that surrounds me? Is it the normal of the family that God has placed me in? Is it the normal of those that I associate with, or is it God's normal? Is it the bread that God has chosen? I want us, if we will, to bow our heads this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we bow before you, and if you're able to stand this morning, we can stand to our feet. Lord Jesus, can we just say thank you, Lord, for the mind of Christ that you have given. Thank you, Lord, for the mind of Christ that you have given. We thank you that you are the bread of life. And from a united heart today, we give thanks to God for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And this morning as we pray, can we welcome the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside right now? You may have had a week that has been very dry. Challenges all around you. No time to spend in the presence of God. And you're wiped out right now. But there's a remedy. And that is that invitation for the Spirit of God to fill and to overflow in your heart. If you have a desire this morning, can you just raise your hands up to the Lord, outstretch to receive.